Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of March, and I'm recording at, what is it here, 8:48 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, another interesting day. The Russian situation, not surprisingly, is not going to go away. Now, John Kerry, the U.S. Secretary of State, having said there was no point in meeting, is now, according to the New York Times, flying over for a meeting on Wednesday with the Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, to talk about this Crimea vote, which is taking place on Sunday. And I don't think there's any real influence that Kerry can exert there, but he's certainly at least attempting and putting down his position. And he's also said that Russia's steps to annex the region would, quote, close any available space for diplomacy, unquote. So this is going to drag on, as I've said before, and it can fray nerves. Particularly among the Eastern European countries, which have all weakened as a consequence of these developments. Now, what else happened here today? Well, take the Asia-Pacific region first for stock markets, and it was quite soft here overall. Japan's Nikkei 225 was down nearly 2.6%, brought the Nikkei back to down below the 15,000 level to 14,830. Now, really, I mentioned yesterday in the audio that there was some near-term nervousness about Japan. First, the economy is softer than the government and investors would like to see, and one of the reasons for that is that Japan's got very high energy costs. You know, the government would like to restart the nuclear power stations, but there's plenty of public opposition, to the tune of about 69%, according to the opinion polls, in opposition to that. So it's a fairly delicate situation. And then Japan's got this tax hike. I think it's a consumption tax hike on consumers coming up next month, and people are worried that could weaken the economy even further. The government's doing that to show that it will be fiscally responsible here overall. So enough uncertainties here to pull Japan back and keep it in this broad range, lengthy consolidation, I think it is, keep it there for a while longer. China slipped a little bit, less than two tenths of a percent here today, but it's, again, I described yesterday's very modest rally of about the same size as a dead cat bounce territory. And there's just too much uncertainty, too many rumors coming out. But it depends what you have, and not to try to make anyone envious, but I hope some of you have that Atlantis Japan healthcare fund, because that hit another new high today. I'm not recommending that up at these levels, because it is overextended overall, but it's still very firm. So the story that I've mentioned on a number of occasions for China really is that if you want performance, you've got to be in those sectors that cater to Chinese citizens here. Okay. The rest of Asia was down, except for Vietnam, which has rallied for the sixth day in a row and is testing its former recovery highs here that we had seen recently, and also India, which has been a star performer here this year. There was one headline describing India as the last brick still standing. Well, that is the case, and you know why. And we've got the election coming up, and Narendra Modi is certainly going to beat the Congress party, which is currently in power. Narendra Modi's BJP party will beat the Congress party, and it's causing people to buy in advance if it's a good victory, and there seems to be a sensible coalition potential, and then it'll keep going here overall. But I still like this because of the election factor. It'll be a big important stage for India, I believe. Now, elsewhere in the European stock markets, they were soft. And the German DAX index down the most, it looks like 1.28%. And that's brought the DAX index back to 9,188. 9,188. I mention that because there is some lateral support at the 9,000 level. The DAX is coming off a lower high, which is not great. And it's certainly going to have a look at those previous lows, which and the other factor that could lend some support there in the 9,000 region are the is the 200-day moving average, which is quite close to that level. But psychologically, I think that 9,000 is important, and if it were to go below it for more than a day or two, I think that would be another blow to sentiment. Europe a little bit nervous here because really Russia controls a big chunk of the gas supplies, and that's one obvious reason why no one in Europe is talking about sanctions or reprisals here against against Russia, although they would and disapprove verbally of the move into Ukraine and the referendum coming up on in Crimea. Now, in the Americas, the U.S. was impressive here today. It ended pretty much unchanged, but there were two sell-offs that occurred during the day. And it recovered after both of those. The Dow ended down a tiny fraction, the S&P up a tiny fraction, the Nasdaq slightly better, up over a third of a percentage point. But that's good action overall. But my overall feeling is that this is still overbought. Excuse me, I'm going to have a cough. Real life here with these audios. No editing. And so you get the coughs and all, but what about Wall Street? Again, steady performance here today to shake off those attempts to the downside. But I think the market's tired. As I said, it is overbought, it is somewhat overextended, and the breadth, the number of companies that are still rising versus those that are starting to decline, is in favor, shifting in favor of the decliners. So I think we are, again, we're overdue for that 10% correction, and I certainly think we'll see it within the next two quarters, and possibly sooner rather than later. Now, U.S. government bonds, 10-year bond. Well, it had rallied up quite swiftly to that 2.8 level last week, but it's coming back down and fell back down today to 2.7264. And the previous lower range is down near that 2.6 level range, the previous range of the last couple of months. Now, if Wall Street weakens, it'll go back and look at that 2.6 level. On the other hand, if Wall Street surprises me and runs up through its highs, then it will move back towards that 2.8 level. Overall, this is a broad trading range, which I feel will eventually be resolved by a sustained break above the 3% yield for that 10-year 10-year bond, but that's not going to happen immediately. I'm not certainly not holding my breath. Elsewhere, we had strength in the precious metals here today, and that's more than offset a soft day that we saw yesterday. Gold bullion, here it is, $1,366, nearly $67, just a few pennies away from that. So that's a very steady performance. And silver, which I've so often described over the decades as a high beta version of gold, and it usually is. It's been lagging, but it picked up 50 cents in here today, currently at 21.30. I bought a little bit more silver. I'd rather rashly went against one of my old rules, never pay up for commodities, particularly silver. And I bought it back on the 24th and 25th of February when it was a dollar higher. And but I decided to add to it. I think this is just a pullback and consolidation, so I bought a little bit more in here today. Platinum and palladium also firm. The palladium at 777 and the platinum at 1476. That's good steady action. Now also further good action in the commodity markets. Wheat very strong here today, up nearly 25 cents to $6.83, nearly 84 cents. Corn was also a little bit higher. I repurchased that. I got shaken out of my corn with an in the money stop, but I picked it up again in here today. And the only one that's lagging in here is still soybeans, but that's getting interesting because that's becoming a little bit here oversold, but that was a little lower here today. And what was also weaker today was crude oil, 98.14 for the WTI. Now, interesting, and I hadn't spotted this, but Owen mentioned to me earlier today that the U.S. is going to release some of its strategic oil holdings, which it had really been building up throughout the George Bush years and well before we had all the big fracking success. So here you have the U.S., which is almost self-sufficient in terms of energy and has got a lot of oil stored, and it's releasing a little bit. Well, now, why would it actually be doing that? Well, it's an economic lever here to put a little bit of pressure on Russia, would be our guess. And that certainly makes sense, and the U.S. really hasn't got much other leverage to use in this in this situation. And anything else? I'm just looking at the Brent. The Brent was a little lower. It's 108.18. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.